Good to see everyone out here this morning. Glad that we can come together to worship God and to enjoy a time together as God's children. And we're going to look this morning in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we begin reading this morning at verse 14. Paul is writing, of course, to the church of Thessalonica. He says, We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Apostle Paul, in this series of exhortations right at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, wanted them to understand there are certain things that we have to do and how we ought to live every day. And I'm not the purpose of this lesson today is not to talk about all of those things, but they're all related to our life, our everyday life for the cause of Christ. When we believe and obey the gospel, it's not just that day, but it's every day we live for the rest of our life. We're to look to these things, to do the best that we can to improve upon them, and of course to be faithful to God. Well, this morning we're going to talk for a while about prayer. Prayer, of course, is part of our service to God. It's part of our worship of God, but it's also should be a way of life to each one of us every day. And verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it is God's will that we pray. Now someone might say, well, doesn't God already know everything that we need? Doesn't he know before we ask what we're going to ask for? Well, the answer is yes, he does. But he still wants us to pray because he knows that is our communication with God, that we are making conscious communication with God when we pray. And that's what God wants us to do because we are his children. He purchased us from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. And so Christ is our mediator. We pray through him. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, there is one mediator between God and man, himself, man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. We pray through him, and God accepts that prayer. And in so doing, God blesses us not directly from himself, but through our mediator, which is Christ. So it goes both ways. But Jesus is also our example. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 7 through 15, we have what usually is called the Lord's Prayer. Well, technically it's not the Lord's Prayer in the sense that some people use it to be. In fact, it was a prayer, a model prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples. He says, here is the way you ought to pray. He was teaching them because often during the time under the law of Moses, many people didn't actually pray for themselves. They would go to the priest under the law and he would offer the prayer for them. And so many of them really didn't know exactly how to pray for themselves. So in Matthew chapter 6 and in the book of Luke and a couple of other places, Jesus said, here is how you are to pray. Now, that doesn't mean we have to repeat exactly the same thing every time. But here is the model. Here is the way that we go by our prayer. In Matthew 16, chapter 6, verse 7 through 15, that's what we might call the model prayer, even though sometimes people call it the Lord's Prayer. In fact, if you really want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, turn to John chapter 17. And almost the whole chapter of John chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer for himself, for glorifying God, for his servants, his apostles, who he had called. And he says also in John chapter 17, for those who would believe on him through their word. And that would be for you and me. So Jesus, the night he was betrayed, in John chapter 17, he prayed for you and me, as well as everyone else in the world, to hear the words that he brought, that the apostles would bring forth fully for him. And it is a privilege for us to approach God in prayer. We turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and begin at verse 14. And he says, seeing then that they have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points is tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Coming boldly before the throne of grace, we do that by prayer. We approach God, knowing that we are sinners, we are lost without God, without Christ, without His grace and mercy and forgiveness. So we can boldly come before the throne of God, and we think, well, how is that possible? Because we're sinners. It's possible because God gives us the privilege of doing so. Now, of course, boldly does not mean in arrogance and standing for that we think we're so great and so wonderful. We're not. But we come boldly because we humbly come before God in prayer. Now, someone wrote one time that we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer on the Lord's Day, but then we forget about it Monday and the rest of the week. That's kind of a question we need to look at ourselves every day. Do we actually take time during our life every day to stop even for a few moments to pray to God, to thank Him for the things of life and ask Him for the blessings that He is willing to give? But it has to be something that becomes a part of our life every day. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus says we are to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Part of that taking up the cross is believing and obeying and praying to Him and then consciously serving God and speaking to Him in our life and by our words. It may be an individual prayer. It may be a collective prayer, as when we meet together or with family or whoever it may be. But He wants us to pray, and that's part of our daily service to God, is praying and asking God for the things of this life, giving thanks to Him for all that He has done for us. But we look then at the idea of prayer. Prayer, of course, as we mentioned, is conscious communication with God. Prayer, in other words, is talking to God. And maybe we think sometimes God is so great and so powerful and so far up there from us that God really doesn't care or pay much attention to you and me. But the Bible tells us over and over again, He's right here with us all of the time. He knows our thoughts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our motivations in life. And He does not turn His back upon us. Peter and John realized the threats from the Sanhedrin Council when in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. They were arrested and brought before the council, and they were told not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. So what did they do? Well, they prayed to God, and they went out and began to preach in the name of Christ immediately. Well, they were arrested again and brought back again. And they were said, "Why have you done this? We told you not to speak anymore in His name." And Peter and John answered, "We must obey God rather than men." And when they did that, they were beaten severely and then let go. Well, what did they do? They didn't stop speaking in the name of the Lord. The Bible says they came out and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. So they prayed. Well, we go back to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, and we look there in verse 23. The Bible is talking about this particular thing in Acts 4 and verse 23. It says he called for the two centurions. Acts chapter 4. I was in the wrong chapter. Chapter 4 there in verse 23. It says, and being let go, they went to go to their own companions and reported that all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord and saying, Lord, you are God, you who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and all the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together, and the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Look now on their threats and grant your servants with all boldness we may speak your word, searching out your hand to heal, and the signs and the wonders that may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So that's what they prayed for after being beaten and threatened and all the things they did. But notice what verse 31 says. And when they had prayed, the place was there that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. They didn't back up. They didn't turn back from what they were required to do. And when they were brought again before the council and told not to speak any more in the name of Christ, they went out and did it again. Said, we must obey God rather than men. And they did. And as far as we know from the historical accounts surrounding these things, and that of all the 12 apostles that were there on the day of Pentecost, 11 of them died at the hands of violence of others because of preaching the gospel of Christ. The only one that lived longer was John, who died, and he was himself was in prison several times and beaten for the cause of Christ. So they didn't just say it, they did what that God wanted them. And so they prayed to God whenever they could, and God was with them all the way through it. Jesus promised his disciples before he was taken, before his crucifixion, he says, they're going to persecute you just like they persecuted me. They may even put you to death. He says, you be faithful, and I'll be with you all the way. Also, prayer is commanded to us. We are talking to God, but we're commanded to do it. And it is a privilege and a blessing, and it is a command. It's all of these things together. God wants us to pray. Again, he knows our thoughts and intents of the heart and our motivations and all of those things. But he still wants us to pray because God knows our thoughts, and it is a part of our obedience to him. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we go back there again, and he says, pray without ceasing. Now, the actual literal translation of that passage is unceasingly be praying. In other words, it's an everyday thing. It doesn't mean all of the time, but every day we live, it becomes a habit, becomes a way of life for you and me. Pray without ceasing. We turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, it's something to be done on a regular basis, and we're to do so to be acceptable to God. And in Luke chapter 18, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And so he's talking about people who came and prayed. And here, the woman who is afflicted by people around her, she came to the judge. And he wouldn't listen. He didn't want to hear her. And she kept coming back. Because she kept coming back and begging him, finally he said, I'll just grant it so that she won't bother me anymore. Well, that was the illustration Jesus used for us in prayer to God. Don't stop. Continue to pray. Continue to ask for the things of life and the necessities of life, and but because of the problems and troubles that we have, continue to pray to God, and He will listen. It's a test of our faith that we pray as we are commanded. Prayer also is a great blessing and a privilege. Now, it is a privilege, but it's also a right and an advantage or favor that we are given because we believe and obey Christ and follow His will. It is a right and a benefit for God's children. Now, in John chapter 9 and verse 31, it says there that God does not hear the prayers of those who sin against Him. Now, some have concluded that in that passage that God never hears the prayer of anybody who is outside of Christ. But if you read through the Bible, you'll find there are several occasions where God did hear the prayers of those who are not faithful to Him. Well, the reason is because they were asking to understand and to know the will of God, and they are truly seeking it. But so God hears our prayers, and He wants us to be saved. He wants us to hear Him and to seek His will in all that we do. We look in 1 Peter chapter 3. And 1 Peter chapter 3, excuse me, in verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, and a quote from the Old Testament. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So if we will turn and we will repent and truly seek the will of God, He will hear our prayers and He will answer those prayers. Now, sometimes it is certainly within His right as our God and our Lord and our Savior to say no to the things we ask for. Because sometimes we ask for the wrong reason. Sometimes we ask because we don't know what we should ask for properly. Romans chapter 8 tells us when we come to a point where we want to pray but we don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf if we're being faithful to the Lord. So people in rebellion against God through their sin are denied the right and the privilege we have in Christ. We must be willing in our heart and mind to believe and to obey Him, to be acceptable to Him in prayer. We turn over to the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, "There are these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence which we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." If we believe and we obey Him, we can have an understanding that we have the promise of eternal life. That's God's promise to us. And He says also that we will know that He hears our prayer. Now again, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way that we want. Sometimes He says no because it's not good for us what we're praying for. Sometimes He wants us to continue to pray, and it tests our patience and our faith that we're going to pray again and again that God will be with us. But He wants us to do so because we are His children, because He loves us. He wants us to be faithful to Him throughout our life. Prayer also is a great power. Now, sometimes we don't understand it that way, but the Bible tells us that anyway, because in James chapter 5, in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Here James says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That's James says there what Jesus had told us already, what God has told us throughout the Old Testament, the beginning and the New. He says, confess your sins, your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another. We need to pray for each other, not just ourselves, not just our families, but for each other every day we live. For the church, for the leaders of the church, for those who are trying to teach and lead to Christ, or lead back to Christ, as the case may be. That we can be faithful to God, and He will help us along the way to do so. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that could be physical healing if we're sick, or spiritual healing if we turn away from God. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But then James uses an example here, beginning in verse 17. James 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. You know, we look at Elijah, and we think, well, here's one of the greatest men that ever lived. He was the great prophet of his time. Elisha, who is going to be God's chosen prophet after Elijah. Elijah said before he was taken up without having to die, he told Elisha, he said, ask what you want of me. He says, I want a double portion of your power. And Elijah said, if you see me as I'm being taken up and you receive my cloak which is around me, says, you'll receive it. Well, Elisha did. And he had a double power than Elijah did. And Elisha went on to work more miracles than Elijah. But notice what it says about Elijah. As great a man as he was, he says, he was a man of nature like ours. He had the same problems and troubles and temptations in life that we have. And we think of Elijah the great man, and he wasn't any different from us. He would fall into temptation and do things that were wrong sometimes, but he was the great prophet of his time. It says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It wasn't because he wanted to punish himself or the people of Israel who were trying to be faithful. He needed a sign to the king of Israel that God was not going to bless him unless he would repent. It says it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now sometimes, and we're in a drought right now, but we need to pray to God to ask for rain for us, and He will give it in due time. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And there here's the conclusion. Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's in the context of praying. We pray for others who are lost. We pray for those who were trying to bring to the Lord and bring back to the Lord. And you go over to the book of Jude. Towards the end of the book of Jude, he says, we pray, we teach, and he says, in doing so, those who have strayed from the Lord, it's like snatching them out of the fire and bringing them back. So we pray for all of these reasons, to communicate with God, to understand that God has commanded and we're following His commands, to realize the blessing and the privilege that it is. It's not just a command, it is that, but it's a privilege to be able to pray to God and for Him to answer and to hear our prayer. It is the power which God gives to you and me. We cannot neglect that privilege and be pleasing to God. He listens to us. You go over, for example, to the Old Testament. And in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter, chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah, who lived in a very difficult time for the people of Israel, they were going away from God. They were turning to idolatry. Isaiah kept calling him, come back, repent, and God will bless you. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear is heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave spider's web. He who hears of their eggs dies for that which is crushed. The viper breaks out." You read that and realize that's the condition of Israel. But notice what he started with. He says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot help. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He says, your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and God. But if you'll come back, rededicate yourself to God and his teaching, he says, I will be with you and I will forgive you. We turn one more passage in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. He says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment which we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us." Spirit is given because we believe. We obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life based upon our faith and our service to him, our commitment to him. This morning, if you need to come for whatever reason it may be in your life, if you've strayed from the Lord and need to come back, if you need to obey the gospel, won't you come this morning while we together we stand and as we sing.